drilling for oil off the California and Florida coasts, as well as the Alaska wilderness, is returning to the debate table. This comes after the president and Senator John McCain expressed their support last week. In doing so, McCain is reversing his 2000 presidential campaign position, which is upsetting some environmentalists. But as a result of rising prices at the pump, recent polls show more Americans are in favor of offshore drilling. The questions are, how much oil is available from these sources? Well, that depends on who you ask. Scientists are certain there's oil to be had, but they disagree just exactly how much. And how long will it take to get it? Any exploration requires permits, planning, of course, and bidding, which some say takes 8 to 10 years. How does this affect today's gas prices, if at all? Most, including the Energy Department, say it's unlikely to make an immediate difference. Hello, I'm Guy Rothbun. Welcome to an evening with Campaign for America's Future online editor Bill Shearer. Mr. Shearer is the author of two books, Wait, Don't Move to Canada, and Cold Feet, Whatever Happens, Laughing Matters. Shearer's background includes environmental policy analyst, issues management, and crisis management. Hello, Mr. Shearer. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's take a look at our presidential candidate who is now waffling, as the term is so readily used in politics, because 8 years ago, Senator McCain was saying no drilling off the coast of Florida or California, and now he's reversing that decision. Is that a political move? Does it make sense?
Well, it's a political risk for Senator McCain, considering what happened with the gas tax holiday debate. I suspect that when Senator McCain, as well as Senator Clinton, came out for that proposal back in April and May when gas prices were on the way up, I presume that it polled well, that if you put in a poll number, would you like to see gas taxes suspended for the summer to save you on gas, people would say, sure. And those political consultants said, let's run with this issue. This is going to be helpful in the primaries. What they didn't factor in is once the debate was fully joined, and I'm not here to shill for Senator Obama. Campaign for America's Future does not endorse candidates, but I think the example is worth analyzing. When Senator Obama said, you know what, suspending the gas tax is not going to save you any money. It is not, at best, would save you $28 over the summer. That's presuming the oil companies don't raise prices in response. It's not a serious proposal to give you short-term financial relief. It's not a serious proposal for the long-term goal of getting off of oil. Once that debate was fully joined, Senator Obama was able to get his candidacy back on track. He won the upcoming primary in North Carolina. He battled back to a close second in Indiana. And now when polls ask, who do you trust more on gas prices, Obama beats McCain by 20 points. That says to me that the average voter, while suffering from this price shock, is sick and tired of being pandered to with false promises of short-term relief with proposals that can't accomplish that. This call for offshore drilling falls in the same category because there's nothing short-term about it. You wouldn't get the oil even out of the ocean for years on end. And Bush's own Energy Department says that there's not enough oil there to make any serious impact on prices even 20 years from now. So once all that information gets out into the public, I think John McCain might run the same risk that he did with the gas tax holiday proposal, which hurt him politically.
I want to follow up with that idea now, because as you say, as the word gets out, the effect will not be that great. It's a very slow process. For some reason, the media don't seem to be picking up on that issue so much as the issue separating the two candidates.
Well, there's a little bit of a difference between the coastal drilling proposal and the gas tax holiday in that big oil wasn't so interested in the gas tax holiday. So they didn't have a full-force PR operation to make an argument for it, whereas they're out in force making the argument for coastal drilling. But the fact of the matter is, I'm just using numbers out of Bush's Energy Department. There are an estimated 10 billion barrels of oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and estimated 18 billion barrels of oil off of the coast. Now, if I just gave you those numbers, that might sound like a lot. But according to the Energy Department, number one, they say you won't see any impact on prices from the coastal drilling until 2030, and even that would be insignificant. Number two, what they say about the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, that those 10 billion barrels of oil would result in a reduction of the price of crude per barrel of 75 cents in 2025, when production would be at its peak. Now, the price of crude per barrel has gone up over $100 in the past 8 years. So 75 cents amounts to a tiny amount at the pump. In fact, it's estimated that would be about 2 cents per gallon. The price of gas would go down again by 2025. Since you have about twice that much off the coast, I'll be generous and add another 4 cents to the pile. That gives you a total of 6 cents per gallon if you did the coast and the Arctic 2 decades from now. So again, there's no short-term relief because the oil doesn't come online quickly, and even in the long term, it does so little for prices you wouldn't even notice it. So it fails on all fronts. And again, I think what those numbers do get out there, I think this proposal will fizzle away the way the gas tax holiday did.
One of the things I understand is that McCain is hurting his power base and his ability to attract some environmental conservatives who are looking at this drilling situation and the need for oil, at the same time recognizing conservation. They are, in fact, moving away from his camp in the recent surveys.
Well, McCain has a very difficult task ahead of him. He has to consolidate his conservative base, and he has to reach out to moderate, independent swing voters. But after 8 years of failed conservative policies, there is almost no overlap on issues between those swing voters and conservative base voters. What McCain has tried to do in response to this is he will propose very contradictory things, and the sum of it, he ends up sounding very incoherent. So at the same time he is calling for coastal drilling, he is running ads promoting his stance on global warming, how he stood up to President Bush, even though he agrees with George Bush on the coastal drilling question. He is trying to talk up nuclear power. There needs to be a huge expansion of nuclear power, but he won't include images of nuclear power in his global warming TV ad. It's those kinds of discordant messages that it's making it hard for McCain to come up with something coherent to say in total on the issue of the environment.
Talking once again with Bill Scheer, the online editor for America's Future, and I should get a web page and information so folks can go directly to the research and find out more if they wish.
Well, at ourfuture.org, that's the Campaign for America's Future webpage, we have a steady flow of commentary not only on environment and energy issues, but all the kitchen table issues that working class Americans and middle class Americans face every day, be it healthcare, energy, jobs, trade. We're trying to do our best to put forth what a progressive vision for the American economy looks like, so engaged citizens can take that information and use that in their daily democratic activities.
We left off in the last part. You were bringing into the picture the situation that now certainly is on the table in every quarter, and that is climate change. And just Monday in The Guardian, one of London's leading papers, the world's climate scientist, James Hansen, he's recognized as being in the forefront on the issue, has called for oil firm chiefs to stand trial, similar to what the tobacco industry faced a decade ago.
Well, it's a very provocative proposal on his part, and I'd say I don't know the specifics of it, under what laws or what particular documents from the oil company executives he would base that on. But what I can talk about more confidently is what needs to be done on this issue. And James Hansen, as has been reported, was sounding the alarm 20 years ago in Congress as a climate scientist, and we have not, as a nation, we've not had our government take on this issue in full. And what I think is frustrating to a lot of Americans is I think most Americans saw this coming, maybe not in 1988, but saw it in recent years. They have elected a new Congress in 2006, partly because of a promise to scrap conservative energy policies that kept propping up big oil and not investing in renewable energy, energy efficiencies, in part so we can tackle the climate crisis. Now you have a majority in Congress that does want to do that, but proposals to end support for big oil, which they don't need more taxpayer subsidies. They get billions in taxpayer subsidies right now, even though the price of oil has gone through the roof. There are proposals that have gone on to end that support, channel that money into renewable energies, and help to consumers to deal with these rising costs, but they keep getting filibustered in the Senate by the conservative minority. So the frustration of the public, I think, is palpable. I think they're tired of not having a choice in their consumption of energy. We obviously have to consume some energy, but right now you have little choice but to consume fossil fuels because we haven't had a policy to give people more choices in their daily lives. People want those choices, and we'll see what happens after the next election if more politicians get elected who are willing to change the energy policy so we can have those choices.
It's not just the pollution from the carbon dioxides released by the oil consumption. As I understand, it's also that we will have, it's not a matter of if, but when an oil spill occurs or leakage and the destruction of coastline in Florida and California both.
Well, that's separate from the climate crisis issue. That's a huge concern for the tourism industries of these states. Florida has a $60 billion tourism industry that a single oil spill would destroy. And it's a huge political risk for John McCain and also the governor there, Charlie Crist, who has suspended his opposition to coastal drilling to sympathize with McCain's position. Florida is a pretty critical swing state in the election. There are some Republicans that are arguing that the polls have changed in Florida, that the gas prices have become so high that even they want to suspend coastal drilling. But again, I don't think those poll numbers take into account all of the actual information, all the data that's out there from the Energy Department, so it's a risk for them. And there's another swing state that some of these proposals could impact, and that's Colorado, not a coastal state. But in George Bush's address last week, he proposed an ending of the moratorium on exploration of oil shale, which is found in Colorado. Very controversial in Colorado, and the oil companies themselves say the technology isn't close to ready to actually use oil shale, and the local papers in Colorado, specifically the Denver Post and the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, which is in the western part of the state where the oil shale is said to exist, they said this is a scam, that this was a terrible idea, and these are both newspapers that endorsed George Bush in 2004. So if that becomes a big issue, I think John McCain has not been terribly clear where he stands on it yet, but with George Bush pushing it, that might already take a state that is trending blue, that the Democrats are certainly looking to turn blue in this election. That might make it even easier for them to do so.
Well, it's interesting, too, that talking about a state turning blue or already there, California is seen as in the Democratic camp by at least a small percentage point. But what is the situation now if McCain loses the support of Governor Schwarzenegger?
Well, I think California was a huge stretch for McCain anyway. I think they had some hopes for California because of the support they have from Governor Schwarzenegger. But the biggest problem for McCain is it's a long shot state for them to begin with. And McCain is going to need a lot of financial resources to even hope to compete in a state that large. And since the Obama campaign is expected to have a much larger financial advantage, and they're looking to employ that in a lot of traditionally Republican states, that would force McCain to play a lot more defense than he would like. And to have Governor Schwarzenegger publicly break with McCain on such a big issue is one more headache that McCain doesn't need if he wanted to actually compete in California.
If you were McCain's advisor right now, you have put your cards on the table for offshore drilling to return to California, Florida, and Anwar, then what do we have in a sit-down and you're able to face your client and make recommendations on what needs to be done to correct the issue?
Well, yeah, once you've said it, you've said it.
Yes.
I presume his advisors have counseled him to do this. I don't think he did this in haste. I think this was well thought out on his part. And I go back to my earlier answer. They're in a very, very difficult position trying to come up with both issue positions and messages that have to appeal to two camps of voters, swing voters and conservatives, that have almost no agreement on the issues at all. So he's in a very tough spot. I guess the one piece of advice I would give to him is you're going to have to make up your mind. Are you going to go after the swing voters, or are you going to try to maximize your base support? It is extremely difficult to do both at the same time, and you have to either go for one and hope that the other camp appreciates what you're doing and trusts the direction you're going in and will go along with you. Trying to appeal to both groups simultaneously has severely damaged the maverick reputation that he had cultivated for himself over the last several years.
Okay, so let's put it on the opposite side. You're now Obama's advisor, and you have seen the mistake that's been made in the McCain camp, or at least one you interpret as a mistake. How do you capitalize on it?
Well, he seems to be going in the direction that he has been already with the gas tax, trying to emphasize that this would not result in actual financial relief for working families. I think Obama has to appreciate that he's going to have to be even louder about it and more consistent about that argument in the wake of the blast of PR you're getting from the oil companies, which wasn't around when the gas tax holiday debate was happening. He can't just say that argument a couple of times and think that's going to be heard. It's going to be pressed in a more diligent way over a number of days. That's probably the biggest advice that I would give to Senator Obama.
There's also the situation that the voters, who can be fickle sometimes and certainly affected by a few cents at the pump, or in some cases a few dollars at the pump, but we do react and tend to do so by the pocketbook. So if we're looking at our economy in a tailspin and our dollars being stretched to the maximum just to afford to drive to and from work, we're going to be responding to a campaign promise to make changes. How can that come about and at the same time maintain the integrity?
Well, that's why I thought the public opinion outcome of the gas tax holiday debate was so heartening. I think people have seen conservative energy policy in action. They've seen what happens when you only promote fossil fuels and you do nothing for renewable energy and you do nothing for energy efficiencies. When you engage in a war abroad that a number of conservative commentators said was going to drive the price of oil down, and the opposite happened. They see what happened when you promote instability abroad instead of stability. And that does not help you secure energy supply. It makes it more unstable and drives up the price. So when all these conservative gambits have failed, it becomes much harder for conservative forces to play on the emotions that occur when these price shocks happen to further promote that same agenda, because people have seen it fail, and are appalled and galled by people trying to trot out the same arguments in the wake of all of this. And that's why I thought they resisted those appeals during the gas tax debate, and I think they will likely do so again with the drilling debate.
Talking once again with Campaign for America's Future online editor Bill Shearer, and you can check us out at kcbx.org or National Public Radio's npr.org for the podcasts of the show in case you're just tuning in. We'll also have the information for the link to ourfuture.org. We'll have the link at our station's podcast location, and you can always call us for more information. Mr. Shearer, let's spend the last minute we have here, or a few minutes, and reassess exactly what you're looking at, how it might play out in the press, because in many ways it's not getting the attention that I would have expected it to get as far as the erroneous conclusions that some people are making in reference to these concepts.
You would have thought that the headline of the day after President Bush's speech on coastal drilling would be President Bush ignores own Energy Department data. That, to me, is a news story in and of itself. That's not what happened. I think you saw some media references to the Energy Department data and how little impact it would have on prices, but it tended to be in the 10th paragraph of a story as an aside. And when I watched cable TV news on the subject, I'd often see figures from the corporate class, be they the head of the American Petroleum Institute, which is the big oil's lobbying arm, or the former GE CEO Jack Welch, or the real estate mogul Bort Zuckerman. I see these folks on TV promoting coastal drilling and not providing accurate numbers, but I don't see folks from the Sierra Club. I don't see folks from the Natural Resources Defense Council. I don't see other analysts who are giving accurate data being part of these cable talk shows, and that contributes to the poor information that comes out to the public. And that's why I appreciate you giving me this platform, so I can at least put some information out there for the public to digest. But the more and more that we're able to do that and get the actual information to the public, the more of an informed decision people can make about what the best policy choices are for our country.
You come up with a figure that some people are going to dispute, and I'd like you to talk about that just briefly once again, because you're getting it from the source, what one would consider the ultimate source, and that is the Bush administration's own Energy Department.
I happen to have done a number of conservative talk radio shows over the past few days on this subject. And when a host says to me, there's 86 billion barrels of oil off the coast, I can just say, you know what? Not only does Bush's Energy Department say it's 18 billion, George Bush himself said it was 18 billion, and he's not the kind of guy to lowball these things. And then from there I can point out that, if they say that the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge oil is only going to knock 75 cents off of crude in 2025, don't expect there to be any significant price savings at the pump tomorrow if this comes into place. That's why we have civil servants. That's why we have departments of energy, so we can get good data that people can use to make informed decisions. It's been one of the sadder tales of the Bush administration that so many civil servants have been ran roughshod over by political appointees who were trying to prevent good data from getting out into the public. So I'm thankful, even a little surprised, that I can even get good data from the Energy Department still. But we can, and it's there, and we should look at it and base our debate on the actual facts.
In summary, then, we're looking at potential for an issue that's going to drag through the summer, one of which caused McCain a little bit of a headache when it was discovered his proposal would mean about $30 total for the summer. Maybe that's estimating a little high, and that is the tax removal at the pump. Now we're talking about offshore oil drilling, the potential for that being a real issue in another 6 weeks, or are we going to forget about it?
Well, with the gas prices this high, I mean, you're talking, let's understand what the average American family is going through. The average American family is going to spend more than $2,300 on gas alone this year than in 2001. That's a pretty significant hit to the pocketbook. When that is going on, it's hard to see how that issue can fade from the front burner. And now we've had, you know, positions pretty clearly staked out by John McCain and Barack Obama on this subject. And what's incumbent upon all of us as citizens is just to make sure that the actual facts get out, so when this debate is had, it is centered on the facts, and the winner can be that those based on the merits and not based on misinformation.
Mr. Scheer, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I hope we haven't overlooked anything.
I don't think so. It was very thorough. Thank you so much, and thanks very much for having me.
Thanks. I appreciate your time, and I hope I can call on you again sometime.
Please do.
All the best.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, you can hear this program in its entirety at npr.org or kcbx.org, where all of the past programs are archived. Next week, we continue this discussion with national advocate Richard Charter. He's been against offshore oil and gas drilling since 1979. Charter is a government relations consultant for Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund and authored the recent book, The Big Pander to Big Oil. Charter's specialty, marine wildlife. For An Evening With, I'm Guy Rathbun. Thank you.